A secret RCMP report has been leaked outlining what the Federal Police Service believes will be happening in Canada over the next 5 years. Listen to this summary statement from the report. Quote, "And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains," close quote. Now, that wasn't actually the RCMP report, which is much more of a doomsday prophecy than what I just read. That was actually Jesus in Matthew 24. But leave it up to status to ape biblical Christianity with a mutated counterfeit. The RCMP report is the closest that our overlords have come to saying, not only will we do whatever we need to forcefully protect you from yourselves, but we're ready to save you from climate catastrophe and future pandemics. To which I say, not today, Satan. It's March 28th. I'm Andrew DiBartolo. That's Matt Halleck. And this is Liberty Dispatch.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Liberty Dispatch, broadcasting across enemy lines into the Canadian culture war. As always, our show is produced in partnership with Liberty Coalition Canada and Christian Week. LCC exists to establish Christ's justice and righteousness and to defend those who stand, and Christian Week exists to provide a practical, balanced, hope-filled perspective on national and global issues. As always, you can support us at libertycoalitioncanada.com. That's libertycoalitioncanada.com. You can scan that helpful QR code at the bottom of the page. Easy for me to say, if you want to help support us. And we would really, really appreciate if you would give to us, considering all that we've got going on, our podcasts, our various conferences that we are up to. We do need your support. And if you value the work that we're doing, we would ask that you would go over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/donate. As always, also, you can reach out to us with a mailbag question at mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. Any comments, questions, concerns, deliver them over their mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. Andrew, buddy, good to be back with you today. A lot to get to. What do you have for us today as far as a mailbag question?
Well, I guess for people who are planning on coming to the Politics in the Pulpit conference, all three locations will be having a live panel Q&A at the end of the three sessions. And so we'll be taking questions live and people can text or write in. But I guess for people who are planning on attending one of the three conference locations, I guess in theory, if there's a really good question you have now in the vein of politics and the pulpit and cultural engagement and Christians engaging in the political realm, you can send us that question and maybe we'll set them into a specified inbox with those questions. We can curate them and maybe they will make an appearance at our conference locations if we find that the well of questions is dry and people are too afraid to put their hand up and ask in person. We will have some pre-questions to work through. So you can hit us up at mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. And again, make sure you sign up for the conference. Three locations: Weston, Nova Scotia, April 20th, Ingersoll, Ontario, May the 4th, and New Westminster, British Columbia on May 25th. libertycoalitioncanada.com/politics-in-the-pulpit. If you are anywhere near one of those three locations, you are going to want to come out to this conference. It is going to be a good one. If you listen to our Liberty Dispatch news brief from this week, you would have caught the brief interview we did with Dr. David Haskell, who will be one of the speakers. It is going to be tremendous. We hope to see you there. One of the things that I know is going to carry these conferences and be immensely successful is that at all of these locations, I personally, and I will offer this wonderful substance to the other speakers as well, is we will be fueled with delicious fuel for freedom. And what we're not going to be drinking is bitter, statist, rainbow, woke, sodomite, communistic coffee. We won't be drinking any of that nonsense. Starbucks will be nowhere near. And if anyone comes to the conferences with a Starbucks cup, you will be summarily spun around and sent elsewhere because we won't have any woke demon brew at our conferences because their coffee is gross and it's bitter. And most bitter of all is that they hate you and your way of life. So what you need to do is you need to purchase your coffee from people who love the Lord and value our rights and freedoms and the principles that make Canada historically the country that it has been. And so you need to connect with our friends at Resistance Coffee, resistancecoffee.com. Get fueled for freedom. Make sure you use our promo code Liberty10. That's the word Liberty, number 10. You get 10% off your entire order at checkout, coffee and merch. Stop buying coffee from woke, statist, globalist, environmental terrorists and start buying your coffee from people who love the Lord and want to see you prosper in our country. And if you do buy coffee from them, which you should, you have to use that promo code, Liberty10, to get 10% off. Let's get fueled for the resistance today. And we need to be fueled for today. We need to be alert and ready to go because this RCMP report that has been leaked is essentially telling us that Canada is going to descend into a post-apocalyptic dystopian Mad Max world hellhole where the state is ready to step in and do everything that they need to keep us safe from ourselves, or at the very least, from the far right Christo fascists like Matt and myself.
Yeah.
And we need to be alert and awake and fueled and ready to engage in this world in which we find ourselves. So the RCMP, our federal police force, which is known for compromising investigations in order to help the Liberal government push their gun control legislation, or most recently, choosing not to investigate or interview our prime fascist, who would have been the single most important person to interview or discuss regarding his involvement with the SNC-Lavalin controversy. Yes, that RCMP has put together a once secret, now revealed, heavily redacted document that has been leaked. Now, the report is titled, quote, Whole of Government 5-Year Trends for Canada, close quote. The best way to get into this and to deal with it is to begin right at the first page. And our plan in this episode is we will be reading the entirety of the report that has not been redacted. Now, it's a 9-page report, and you might be thinking, golly, we're going to be here a while. Well, we're not going to be here a while because so much of the report is redacted and in pretty interesting places, like under the erosion of trust section, the majority of it is redacted. If that doesn't scream irony to you, I don't know what does, because nothing makes me distrust police forces and our RCMP more than saying, here's all the things we're not going to tell you. We got to make sure you can't see these. So that's marvelous. So let's get right into it. This is right at the very first page. These are the first words of the report. Quote, the global community has experienced a series of crises with COVID-19, supply chain issues, and the Russian invasion of Ukraine, all sending shockwaves throughout the world. The situation will probably deteriorate further in the next 5 years as the early effects of climate change and a global recession add their weight to the ongoing crises. Recent experience has raised the important question of how adaptable and ready RCMP federal policing is to new and unexpected crises. Based on open source information from 2022-6-6 to 2022-10-30, so that's June 6, 2022, and October 30th, 2022, the following scanning exercise identifies shifts or signals in change in the domestic and international environments that could have a significant effect on the Canadian government and the RCMP. And then a couple lines are redacted. Then it says open source foresight material, horizon scans, and environmental scans from law enforcement agencies, government agencies, and private entities, both domestic and international, were consulted. Close quote. Right away, from the very beginning, this is going to be a partisan, deeply political, and not what you would expect from a police report, which is supposed to be a dispassionate, objective, fact-based analysis. No, what we're going to see in this report is a veritable masterclass in political science and statism. Global community, they say. There's the globalist tip of the hand. Right? Amen. COVID is not the problem, by the way. The problem is the state. That was the problem. And they are the ones that created supply chain issues, for anyone who doesn't remember. Climate change, that's more globalist 2030, 2050 agenda stuff. And again, it's the state that caused the recession. It didn't just happen on its own because Galen Weston decided to charge more money for milk, despite what Jagmeet Orange Turban Commie would have to say about it. That's not what's causing the recession. And of course, as they see here, the international entities just had to be discussed and consulted because Canada exists to do the will of her globalist overlords, not to do what's best for her own citizens who elected these ghouls in the first place. So we're off to a fantastic start with this report. I must say, I'm looking forward to all of the statism and communism that the RCMP has in store for us.
Yeah, and I think what people have to realize, what we've also covered before and what's become more blatantly obvious, is though, you know, the RCMP is, yes, they are the federal cops, as it were, federal law enforcement, they are supposed to have a level of independence from the government, that the government doesn't directly control them. But what we've seen more and more throughout the last few years is that level of independence, maybe it was never there, but it certainly has been withering. And in fact, we see time and time again, especially with Brenda Luckey and that whole controversy, that the RCMP is happy to do the bidding and the will of the state. And I think that is less to do with necessarily them wanting to destroy the independence of the RCMP, but certainly it has everything to do with the fact that they are fellow travelers, that they share the same world and life view. So when it comes to working hand in glove, it just makes sense that they would do the bidding of their government overlords who they agree with, who this stuff that they're talking about, this is how they view the world. So that's, I think, the really scary part, is when you have one centralized, one consolidated worldview that's based on a pure devotion to secular humanism, and it's inculcated and it's the foundation of every single institution in our society. This inevitable blurring of the lines happens, and they are definitely going out of their way, as we've seen time and time again. And you mentioned, Andrew, to help out our federal government, to help out the Trudeau regime. And it should worry greatly the Canadian citizen. And I notice, you know, they're happy, Andrew, to put their finger on the distrust and the fact that Canadians are less and less sanguine about the current state of the culture and our government and our government officials, but they don't really themselves take a lot of responsibility for the case that we are in. They don't seem to think that they have much of a role to play. Nevertheless, the report goes on to say, Andrew, as a result of the scanning exercise, six overarching considerations are presented here for decision makers, which are then followed by a more detailed outline below. While evaluating strategic advice and making choices for the organization's long-term success, decision makers should, quote, and then it gets into six considerations. Now, this section is heavily redacted, and the first consideration is entirely redacted. That's why the break in the flow of the logic in the sentence there. So we don't know what is actually even said after that setup. So again, transparent as a lead wall, I think you said, Andrew, in our last program. Anyways, the second consideration has one line visible, and it says the following: law enforcement should expect continuing social and political polarization fueled by misinformation. Oh, yes. Of course, they wouldn't redact that one because it has their political spin and everything in it. Misinformation campaigns and increasing mistrust for all democratic institutions. Interesting, considering the state and state-funded propaganda media is the main driver of social and political polarization. And because of that, Canadians, ordinary Canadians, not just the crazy theo-fascists, so-called, like us, but just normal Canadian citizens, their trust for the mainstream media is at an all-time low because they are seen as the main dealer of misinformation campaigns and the primary cause for mistrust in our institutions. So again, Andrew, that blurring of the institutional independence, the fact that our government has bought and paid for media outlets across our nation, not just the CBC, that has led to more mistrust. But again, you'll notice the RCMP can't find it in themselves as an independent agent to point the finger at the government, which a truly independent agent would, right? They would have no problem prophetically saying, hey, federal government. It's the same way that central banks are supposed to be independent, but all they do and all they exist to do is prop up the current regime. They never point the finger at the overspending, the insane debt spending, all the carbon tax. They're never pointing the finger at anything the government's doing. And that's a way to tip, or that's at least a way that you can know as ordinary Canadian citizens that these are highly political organizations and they're not actually independent organizations at all. But I mean, we see it over and over again. The RCMP helps our government, and they help them by framing the conversation on this stuff in a way that fits with the overall propaganda that our government is churning out over and over and over again. So under the third consideration, it says this. Quote, law enforcement should anticipate that criminals will leverage technological innovations to gain profit and influence. Oh, no. Bad words, obviously, for communists. Law enforcement should also continue to contribute to policy change relating to the privacy of personal information, artificial intelligence, the Internet of Things. Very interesting that they use that term because that is a WEF. Fourth Industrial Revolution term. I mean, that's who you know they're getting their talking points from. Quantum computing, digital ledger technology, and more. The fourth consideration says, over the course of the next 5 years, environmental scientists expect that increasingly violent and even concurrent storms, worsening drought, floods, and persistent heat waves all over the globe will reduce the global output of a variety of commodities.
Are you reading from Matthew 24 again?
No, Andrew. This is straight from the report.
This part's okay. This is the report. Just want to make sure. It's very difficult to tell the difference.
Notice the economic hardship. That's from climate change, not from government intervention into the economy at every level that has basically destroyed the purchasing power of the dollar. The intervention during COVID destroyed and disrupted supply chains over and over and over again. Our government is deciding to disrupt and dismantle our economy, but that's not in here.
Yeah,
it's climate change.
I'm surprised we're not reading is something to the effect of, you know, your cars and cow farts are the reason why we need to eat bugs to save the planet. I'm surprised that's not.
That would be too honest. They probably redacted that part.
That's probably the whited out part. It's somewhere in there.
Yeah,
and exactly. Right now the RCMP is thinking, how do they know we redacted it?
We just have a way. We've been doing this long enough that we know magic, just like that. We know what's coming. Okay. Anyway, I lost my spot. We get on these tangents and then sometimes I lose my spot. Anyways, let's press forward. It says law enforcement should anticipate that these destructive weather patterns, right? Climate change, that's the culprit, will affect all facets of government, including damage to critical infrastructure, increasing pressure to cede Arctic territory, and more. Is that like they're gonna, like Russia's gonna come and invade us? Is that
you'll read a little bit. There's a section that they specifically later in the report under the heading Arctic, and they're like, ice is melting. That means more ships can come in. The Russians are coming for our fresh water. Is something like that. I think that's okay. There's a bunch that's redacted, but there it's like the Russians are coming. The Germans are coming for our fresh water. They're coming. I think that's in there. You'll see.
Yeah. Okay.
It gets great. It's great.
Okay. Fifth consideration. Emergency management planning should be considered by law enforcement decision makers to ensure continued levels of service delivery. Capacity building through the attraction and retention of qualified staff remains a challenge to law enforcement, probably because your stupid vax policies and all your DEI nonsense, and the fact that it's typically more conservative people that generally go into law enforcement, and you hate them with a passion.
Tampons in the male bathroom.
Yeah, it turns out like highly motivated men with a lot of testosterone find it exceedingly offensive that you put feminine care products in their bathroom. You pay for it with taxpayer money. Thanks. Sixth, Andrew, it says, as the climate crisis intensifies, you can just hear the spooky music, extreme weather events will become more frequent, increasing the likelihood that they will occur concurrently or at the same time as other major crises that require the deployment of agency resources. Oh, dear. So now we need to turn the RCMP into climate cops, Andrew, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what's going to happen is they're each officer is going to get a ring representing one of the five elements. Yes. And when their powers are combined, they will release Captain Planet. Except the Captain Planet they want to release is the Captain Planet played by Don Cheadle in the College Humor videos that turns everyone into trees and kills human beings because they're a plague upon the planet. That's the version of Captain Planet they want. Yeah. You haven't seen
the
those videos.
Version.
I'm not advocating that you do. There's some language issues, but I am saying I have seen that one point in my life in the past, and that's the Captain Planet that they want. I'll also note that emergency management planning is a soft way of saying martial law, just so we're clear. That's a soft way of saying we need to be able to step in and manage and police under emergencies, and we need the staff to do it. That's martial law. We need to be ready to do martial law. We need the people to enact martial law is what they're saying, a very soft way that
Andrew, I can envision somebody, more skeptical saying, Andrew, that's hyperbolic language. Come on. Mm-hmm. The government would never do that. But it doesn't take a great leap when we understand that this is
people. The dads were arrested for rollerblading on lakes with their kids when no one else was around them.
Yes.
People who were parasailing in the middle of water by themselves were arrested and fined by police officers in boats. Moms were arrested for being in outdoor playgrounds. Police officers were also came under disciplinary action when they took their kids to the park in Belleville. And moms in hockey rinks, pregnant moms were arrested in hockey rinks for not wearing masks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. That would never happen.
Yeah,
sure.
No, exactly. And not to mention, they literally invoked the Emergencies Act to put down a peaceful protest that has now been deemed illegitimate use of literally the biggest, most extreme tool in the government toolkit, yep, which would legally allow them to do martial law, and it did allow them to disperse the protests by essentially putting a soft version of that in place. So why would it be a huge jump to say that they would, given all these threats that they're laying out, given the fact that our government literally in official government policies says that climate change is the greatest existential threat facing Canadian citizens? Well, if they used it for a peaceful protest, why wouldn't they use this sort of gigantic club for the greatest emergency of all time, ever conceivable in their minds, right? Why wouldn't they? Well,
we covered the province of Quebec passing legislation allowing the provincial police force there incredible powers in future public health and other crises, essentially setting up Quebec to step in whenever they deem that it's enough of an emergency. So
Sorry, I know we got stuff to cover, but I just wanted to flag this before I forgot. We covered a long time ago the WHO pandemic treaty, right? That's gonna the signing of it, the kind of next meeting is this May coming up, and Canada has already expressed a great desire to sign on to that treaty, which would allow for things like we're talking about, for the interest of, you know, climate change as well as any sort of pandemic response. So it's not absurd for us to make these inferences when you just logically follow the reasoning of our federal government and their nameless, faceless bureaucrats.
So those are the six considerations, here's things you need to think about. The first one was totally redacted, so I'm quite curious what that was. The other five are heavily redacted, and then the report gets into the specific things they've covered. So AI and blockchain and the distrust and the climate stuff. So, and again, these are all very heavily redacted. We've linked to the report. You can see it's 9 pages, but as you scroll through it, there's a whole lot of whited out space in the middle of the report, some entire sections. So the first heading is popular resentment. This is what is there that hasn't been redacted. Quote, "The coming period of recession will also accelerate the decline in living standards that the younger generations have already witnessed compared to earlier generations. For example, Canadians under 35 are unlikely ever to be able to buy a place to live. The fallout from this decline in living standards will be exacerbated by the fact that the difference between the extremes of wealth is greater now in developed countries than it has been at any time in several generations." Close quote. And then we read this under erosion of trust. Quote, "The past 7 years have seen marked social and political polarization in the Western world." Close quote. And that's it. Everything else under that heading is redacted, which, as I said earlier, is quite ironic that the worst thing you could do to see, or the best thing you could do to increase the erosion of trust in Canadians, is to essentially redact the entire section under the heading erosion of trust. I mean, it's almost like they all specialize in baking delicious, sweet, ironic chocolate cakes. But they do. Our taxpayer dollars fund their baking masterclass and irony chocolate cakes. We see this. Here's this gem, and the heading is also quite magnificent. The heading is paranoid populism. Quote, "Capitalizing on the rise of political polarization and conspiracy theories have been populists willing to tailor their messages to appeal to extremist movements. Authoritarian movements have been on the rise in many liberal democratic nations," close quote, and the rest is redacted. Then we have a section titled Big Data. We read this, quote, "Through such mechanisms as social media, the Internet of Things, and biometric identifiers, Big data is and will increasingly be available on a scale that is difficult to quantify. Access to this data will allow private entities to develop the means to exercise undue influence over individuals and populations at an unprecedented level. Oh, you mean like Twitter and Facebook not allowing you to share certain information regarding the jabs and the origin of the virus and the lockdowns, even though it's true? You mean like that? No, that's at all. That's not what they mean. What they mean is stuff that doesn't further their narrative. Of course, continues. Some of the emerging technologies most likely to have an impact on Canadian governments within the next 5 years include artificial intelligence, quantum computing, and digital ledger technology, i.e. blockchain. Close quote. This is under the artificial intelligence section. Quote, artificial intelligence, AI, the use of evolving computer algorithms to help computers, vehicles, robots, and other machines perceive, reason, learn, and plan, is expected to have a significant impact on government operations in the coming 5 years. AI will enhance and assist decision-making by helping coordinate operational resources, finding patterns in vast data sets, and boosting productivity in a wide range of endeavors. One especially concerning use of AI for the next 5 years is the deepfake, and in particular, the deepfake of, listen to this, important and famous people. What? Important? See, now notice, it doesn't matter if a deepfake video was made with your child being superimposed on a pornographic movie. That's irrelevant because you're nobody. You're just a peon. It doesn't matter if a deepfake video was made accusing you of saying something you didn't actually say in order that you'd be charged with a hate crime. That doesn't matter because you're just a little minion in Canada. What they care about are the importance and the specials. What we care about is our politicians and our health officials and our judges and our very, very important masters of business and industry. We're concerned about them and stuff being put out that's false for them. But you, whatever, you're going to go to jail because someone made a deepfake video about you. No problem. Finally, this is under the quantum computing section. It is possible that quantum computing will be available within the next 5 years, close quote, and everything else is redacted. That's dystopian. Quantum computing, changing the way that computing is done, the speed and measure at which calculations can be made, the vast amount of information that could be processed and sorted and dealt with by these incredible computers. Nothing to see here. This is no concern for you, average person. Don't worry. It's not like we're going to take all your information and run it through quantum computing, or it's not like we're going to take and we're going to access the Amazon servers that have everything you say in your house recorded because of your Amazon Echo Dot, and everything you do in your house visually recorded because Amazon owns the rights to Ring and stores all of that video information on their servers. So everything you say and everything you do inside and outside of your house is stored on a server. And you might ask the question, well, someone to go through that and to sync all that information and put together the audio and the visual to essentially compile a full 24/7 surveillance within my home, to which I've given up the rights because I have these Amazon devices. No person's going to sit behind a computer and do that, right? But if they deploy quantum computing, then they very quickly will be able to have 24/7 audio visual surveillance of your house. But don't worry, we can redact this. There's nothing for you to see here. Yeah, that's what's going on. That's what's going on.
And I think there is a great deal of concern for governments, especially to use quantum computing for their ends, right? Because we have to understand that this is a lot of the socialist communist wet dream of our current fourth industrial revolution, right? They understand that socialism has been a disastrous, life-destroying, civilization destroying failure wherever it's gone, and including our civilizations that are now under the socialistic thumb. We have been for quite some time, and now we're feeling the pressure from this idiotic, inane view of humans and the economy, all this. Socialism can't work because central planning to the scale that would need to be exercised requires godlike power. Mm-hmm. Quantum computing in these socialist communistic minds is that godlike power that will allow them to exercise centralized command and control technology in order to maintain and manage all of our lives. And they will do it through opt-in soft totalitarianism like we've seen over and over and over again. And that's ultimately what they're pressing towards. And you can see their disdain for decentralized power and AI technology and optimization by just what they have to say about blockchain, right? They see blockchain as a great threat to their hegemonic control over everything we see and everything that we do.
Making the case for Bitcoin. There's lots of debate about Bitcoin. There's a lot of debate about, is it good? Is it not? Is it reliable? Is it safe?
Is
it
really
not
digital gold? Or
I don't want to get into that. Obviously, if we had a disdain for Bitcoin, we would not be supporting bull Bitcoin and we would be telling you to buy Bitcoin.
No, so clearly not use it ourselves.
Our hand has been revealed. But I just want to say, by way of principle, whenever our federal government in tota tells you what you should or should not do, generally speaking, you should do the exact opposite of that. So when our federal government is telling you, don't buy Bitcoin, blockchain, very, very bad, don't do this, bad, 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 I think your general posture should be, I should probably do that.
More whatever and more that is the case. There's no doubt about it.
Get the job, don't get the job. Yeah. Stay home. Don't stay home. Oh, don't worry about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. No, get it. Get it and use it. Whatever they tell you, do the opposite. So I say that because you're right, Matt. You're about to read how they word blockchain. And it's almost like, oh, the idea of something being free and independent from our greasy state control hands, that's a very, very bad thing.
Yeah.
Well, that is probably a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. So here is the bit that they have under the quote blockchain heading. Quote, blockchain is a data storing structure currently used in virtual currencies such as Bitcoin. Blockchain technology will enable and enhance other emerging technologies like AI, machine learning, additive manufacturing, and autonomous vehicles. Blockchain systems record transactions, data on a ledger that is distributed, i.e. there is no central trusted authority. They're tipping their hand. All nodes, users in the network hold and maintain a copy of the data set so you can have autonomy over your information, over your Bitcoin, all that stuff. Immutable, i.e. once added to the ledger, transactions cannot typically be undone or altered, and agreed to by consensus, i.e. transactions can only be added to the ledger with approval of specified nodes in the network. The advantage of blockchain systems over other databases is that they can operate securely without centralized oversight and control, i.e. zero trust. That's how they're framing it. Here is the last bit we see on the report. And don't forget that we told you this 3 years ago. Quote, in the wake of COVID-19, Canada's governments have normalized operating during a respiratory pandemic. But the damage to the economy and to the social fabric of the nation is ongoing, and there is an established opposition to existing and potential public health matters and other restrictions. According to an influential Duke University study, there is more than a 10% chance of another pandemic spreading within the next 5 years. Marani, Ketul, Pan, and Parlori 2021. That is the paper I probably destroyed those names, but we'll press on. Emergency preparedness planning remains key to the ability to government institutions to provide continued service. And under
Before you get into this last little bit, because we need to, we got to set it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think we need to breathe for a sec, and I want to create the tension here. And really get people and build the anticipation. People like, because the next bit is the final thing. The next part of the report is the, this is the, here's what we're going to do about it. So we're going to let that sit so people get all excited. But just before that, I want to touch quickly on, I find it curious that they refer to Bitcoin not as digital currency, but virtual currency. And I don't think that's just a misspeak, because there's a difference between virtual and digital. Right. So the money that I have in my bank account when I transact with my debit card isn't virtual. It's digital. There's a difference. And I think what they're trying to tell you here is they're trying to say, by using the word virtual as opposed to digital, that Bitcoin isn't real money. It's not real money. It's just virtual currency.
Yeah. It's, they're trying to make a currency distinction between the ones and zeros on their ledger.
I think that there's something behind that, and then the idea that they will continue to say that its weakness is that it can't be monitored and controlled. It's what they think about this. What they think is you're not responsible enough to take care of yourself and your life, and the general population is not responsible enough to each have access to a ledger to make sure that the transactions are legitimate. We, Big Daddy, God, state government, we're the ones that need to take care of you, and we're the ones that need to make sure, because you're just too stupid to take care of your own money. That's what they're trying to say. It's really condescending, and it's very telling, because this is coming from, again, what's supposed to be an apolitical, dispassionate, objective.
And no doubt, Andrew, no doubt that's going to be the narrative that is used for the government creating some sort of alternative to the blockchain Bitcoin type of currency, one that they have absolute, complete control over, not you, but them. So that's what they want to create, is essentially the centralized a control version of what Bitcoin has created. But Andrew, given the fact that obviously, everything that they've touched upon is of grave concern to the Canadian citizen, like this is a serious, these are serious threats facing the Canadian citizen. So
under
now
the
last section,
what do we do about
next steps? I hate to say it for our listeners, this is the longest section that we have to share with you. Oh, no. If I'm reading it right, it says it's totally redacted. Oh.
Totally redacted. And it's the only other section that's totally redacted is the first consideration. But the first consideration of the six is a paragraph. You click the link, look at the report. Mm-hmm. This is essentially half to three quarters of a page. Next steps. It's like, so what do we do now? Redacted. So
of course.
We're not going to tell you.
Yeah. Of course.
We're not going to tell you what we're going to do.
And nobody was surprised.
So we're going to give comment. I think that the second part of this episode is going to be drilling down on some of the principles we see in the report, what's actually going on, how we need to respond to it, what this report says about our government, what it says about our police services, what it says about what they think about us as citizens and how they perceive the world and the narrative they're trying to craft. So we're going to deal with all of that. But first, as we're on the topic of technology and rights and freedoms, privacy, and the heavy-handed control of the state and big tech, if you're using MailChimp, HubSpot, or Salesforce for email marketing, CRM, and sales, maybe you haven't heard, but hopefully by this point you know that they've been blocking and canceling voices of freedom and truth. That's why Liberty Coalition Canada has switched to Sales Nexus. Even before, by the way, we made the decision to switch to Sales Nexus before MailChimp decided to suspend us for a week for simply creating a template of an episode that Mike did with Deanna McLeod on the whole vaccine industry and specifically the effects on pregnant women of the COVID shots. So we've moved over to Sales Nexus. Sales Nexus is a complete business marketing and sales solution that won't tell you what you should say or believe. Try it yourself at salesnexus.com and get 2 users for the price of 1 with the promo code Liberty. And if you're a church, a Christian business, some sort of organization, some charity, that you have a large email list, that you are regularly sending out newsletters and updates to your subscribers, you're going to want to check out Sales Nexus like today. And if you go to a larger church, you're connected to a larger organization where you anticipate they probably are sending a lot of emails, then do the loving, kind thing. Send an email to your elders or your deacons or whatever administrative person is in charge of stuff and say to them, what do we do for emails? Are we using MailChimp? Are we using HubSpot? Have you checked out Sales Nexus? I mean, I heard about them. I was listening and apparently they exist, you know, to help support the freedom of expression and freedom of belief and conscience, and they won't cancel, they won't punish you for those beliefs. So do the loving thing, reach out to your church or your organization and switch them over to Sales Nexus today. So let's talk about the report, but before we do, I want to start off by saying this. Anyone who's at all familiar with 1984, if you've read the book, you know that Big Brother, who ultimately is the head of the party, so Big Brother is at the very tippy top of the party, which is the state. That's what they call the state, is the party. The state exerts its power and accomplishes its will through 4 ministries in Oceania. Okay, so the 4 ministries are the Ministry of Truth, the Ministry of Peace, the Ministry of Plenty, and the Ministry of Love. Now, in Canada, it appears that we are essentially slotting very nicely into a Big Brother, the party kind of world, where it is clear at this point that the state-funded legacy media is the Ministry of Truth. And they deal primarily in propaganda in order to further the goals of Big Brother. The Ministry of Peace, they're the ones that ultimately oversee war. And at least now in Canada, we are spending much more money than we should in order to fund and support evil, senseless wars around the world. The Ministry of Plenty is the one that suppresses the distribution of resources. So they're the ones that are in charge of the rationing of food. And in Canada, the reality is, for various reasons, the access to food and resources is much more limited than it's been in a very long time. And then the Ministry of Love is ultimately the one that is in charge of the torturing of political dissidents and those who would dare speak against Big Brother. And I would say that the RCMP, in putting out this report, is essentially showing that the RCMP is the Ministry of Love. That is telling you, we'll do whatever it needs, whatever we need to do to take care of you because we love you, but ultimately we're going to punish you if you don't play nice and do what we tell you to do for the good of the party and the country and for the glory of Big Brother. So the RCMP is the Ministry of Love. So now we have that final piece slotted in.
Okay, because, you know, in my mind, obviously, I would think that the Ministry of Peace would be maybe the most logical correspondent. But you're saying the kind of military, the bigger, badder guys, they're the Ministry of Peace. The Ministry of Love is the domestic law enforcement that we see.
Because we love you, because we care about you.
The peace and tranquility of Canada.
The Ministry of Peace is out there. The Ministry of Peace is because dealing with the war effort with in the book Eurasia and
that's right.
And I can't remember the other East Asia. East Asia and Eurasia are the enemies in the book. But the Ministry of Love is the one that, oh, well, if you dare defy Big Brother, if you dare speak against the party, because we love you and because we're all about love, we're going to have to exercise some tough love and correct you. Yeah. And the RCMP, you look at this report, what are they saying? They're saying things are going to get worse. Fall in line. Don't spread misinformation. Don't take advantage through technology and blockchain. And we will make sure that we will have the people and respond appropriately in order to prevent Canada from descending into utter chaos. We will do what's needed. That's what this report is saying.
Yeah, and safety, security, order, all these things are just, you know, the in the totalitarian's handbook as far as the justification for taking emergency and extreme measures. And we're talking about this is millennia upon millennia of political strategy by tyrants and dictators of all ilks have used this as...
Nero burned down Rome. Nero burned down Rome to make to clear the way for him to construct his glorious temple for himself, and then he blamed it on the Christians. And then persecution began. That's 2,000 years ago. And the reason why I bring up Nero specifically is because Nero found that it would be really, really good to set his sights upon the people of the way, that they would be an easy target, and that all of Rome would understand that it is right to come against these people. And that's why I think 2,000 years later, here we are again.
Well, yeah, and it even predates Nero, though, because if you understand, like, the first 400 years of Rome, they were more ostensibly a republic. But how did the republic dissolve into an empire with the imperial rule of a single Caesar?
Isn't that when Chancellor Palpatine said, the attempt on my life has made it so that we must consolidate into the Galactic Empire? What happened with Rome?
The funny part is, obviously, Lucas is riffing off of the Roman Empire in the Star Wars. But there you go. That's the old political trope. But yes, that is exactly what happened, is more and more and more towards the end of the 400 period of the Republic. What happened? Well, the rulers of Rome would call these big emergency periods for wars or domestic tranquility or whatever. And then eventually they just didn't give the power back. And that's how you went from a republic to an empire. And it's the same justification we see over and over again. It's for your safety, your peace, and your tranquility. But I also want to point out, I have pointed out in the past, but I think you see it over and over in again in the communication from our government officials, as well as, you know, secret communications within the government, like the RCMP. The tool of the dictator, the playbook that I think Mao stated very well, and understood how a lot of these, you know, it's not just communists, but a lot of dictators seize control in their country, is through a three-step process of unity, criticism, and then unity again. So what happens in that process is you call for a greater unity in society. You say things are fractured, we're disunified as a people. There's bad actors out there leaking mis and disinformation that are trying.
Paranoid populism is a phrase from the report.
Exactly. So there's all sorts of threats out there, and they're coming for you, and they're coming for us as the collective. Therefore, we must unite against these maleficent forces out there, or even domestically, and we must band together. So that's where the criticism comes in, where you criticize paranoid populism, libertarianism,
people who use Bitcoin,
Christians, anybody who you see as outside the ideology, who can't be easily controlled by that, then you criticize them. Then you say, these are the bad actors, like I've talked about. These are the people who are seeking to destroy our civilization. And this is why it calls for emergency action against these no good ne'er-do-wells who are seeking to destroy us. I mean, the logic is embedded in Nero and all the Christian persecution towards the end of the Roman Empire, right? Because the Roman Empire is degrading quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. It's accelerating. So they have to have a scapegoat. They turn towards the Christians. The acceleration of the persecution picks up and picks up and picks up. We're seeing that same sort of thing. So you have unity, criticism, and then unity, where you're calling for complete and utter unity under a newly installed command and control regime. And everything that you do, no matter how totalitarian, is under that unified society. So unity, we're calling for unity. We're looking at this utopian society where we can be united. Therefore, we criticize, we other, we dehumanize anybody who doesn't want to play into that utopian vision. And then we can take any sort of actions that we need to take to ensure that unified utopian future is sought after and maintained. And that's the unity criticism unity that is the totalitarian's playbook that is just embedded in so much of our government correspondence. It's if you listen to Justin Trudeau speak, if you listen to Chrystia, the reason I want to point this out, because if you hear them, part of what's so nauseating about hearing them speak is they're the most divisive, the most childish, the most self-seeking, the most, condescending human beings on the face of the earth. But they have the audacity to stand up there and call for unity. So that's the cognitive dissonance that makes people sick to their stomach. But that's also part of their playbook. Unity, criticism, unity. And if you are listening to this program and you're buying the criticism of these totalitarians, there's a good chance that you're a brainwashed fool who will be summarily discarded by these totalitarians as soon as you don't fit into their future. And that's also the fate, right? People have to understand. The fate of the Red Guard was destruction once the new communist regime was installed in China. It turned out the Red Guard, who were always there as revolutionaries to challenge the status quo. Well, now that the Communist Party's there, we don't need revolutionaries who are going to question the government.
Same thing happened in the French Revolution. All the original.
Exactly.
The brains behind and the original pushers of the French Revolution, they all ended up with their head in the guillotine as well.
Happens all the time.
They didn't escape the fate either.
Yeah.
So what I find curious about this report, Matt, is in all of what we see, and I'm assuming in what we don't see, which is redacted, not once, not for a single second, does the RCMP ever even intimate at the fact that maybe, just maybe, the federal government is in some way responsible for just a tiny minutia of it. They don't come anywhere near that.
That's how you know the RCMP's gone.
You're gonna talk about economic upheaval in Canada, and you're not even going to hint at the printing of money to a degree per capita that might be worse than what the United States did. And boy, oh boy, did they do some terrible stuff during COVID. So you're not going to mention that. You're not going to mention the carbon tax nonsense that is crushing Canadian families. You're not going to mention that. you're not going to mention the effects of devastating small businesses and livelihoods mm-hmm. during COVID. You're not going to talk about the freezing of bank accounts so that people couldn't pay their mortgage, so people didn't have access to their actual funds. So you're not going to mention that. You're going to talk about economic calamity in Canada, but you're not going to talk about that at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, how and not?
Yeah. And likewise, social distrust and social unrest. You're not going to mention the Emergencies Act. That is literally, as it stands right now, now the appeals are going on, it's been declared an unconstitutional act.
Yeah. You're not going to talk about our prime minister saying that people who refuse to get the jab are racist, misogynistic, conspiracy theorists, anti-scientists. And he ends off that interview by saying, we need to ask whether or not we actually tolerate these people. That you know, that's not at all a cause. All his rallies saying that if you're not vaccinated, you can't get on a plane. Mm-hmm. You can't get on a train. We're not going to talk about that being at all a contributor to the division in our country, even just a little bit.
Or even the fact that the courts over and over and over again have deferred to the governments and the bureaucrats, so then people don't feel enfranchised anymore, that they actually don't have a legal mechanism in which to hold the state to account. The fact that the courts, in doing all of that, have even admitted that time and time and time and time again, that the government actually trampled over people's charters, right? Like, they never point to any of this stuff. Or how about the insane amount of violations of codes of ethics within the government from one single party over and over and over and over and over again. You're not going to point to that as mistrust. You're not going to point to yourself and your commissioner working hand in glove with the government to push false narratives concerning guns. You're not going to point out the fact that the SNC-Lavalin scheme, you didn't actually approach the prime minister who was at the heart of the ethics complaint for that. You don't think that you have anything to deal with it?
What that reminds me of actually is, you know, when you watch cop shows and you watch these cop dramas, and then inevitably, you know, in every show, in every season, there's an episode or two where, you know, the detectives will be doing an investigation. And the investigation that will reveal that the guilty party or the person to be pursued is either a particular politician or a very influential businessman. And then the detective will be, you know, because the detective is out for truth, they're trying to solve the crime and make sure that the one who committed the crime is punished. And then inevitably, the detective will be called into the captain's office, and they're called into the captain's office. And then sitting beside the captain is the police commissioner or the superintendent, and they'll say, "Captain, what's going on here?" And then the police commissioner will kind of stand up and say, "Detective, you've done some fine work here, but I think it's time for you to drop the case and we'll take over from now." And the detective will say, "What do you mean? Why? What's going on? The person's guilty." And the commissioner will say, "Nope, this is how it's going to be. Just let it go." And then the commissioner will walk out, and then the detective will say, "Captain, what's that about? What's going on?" And the captain will say, "Just so happens that the guy that you're chasing down is best friends with that politician, happens to be best friends with the commissioner and one of his largest donors. And he's told you, you need to drop this thing." And the detective will be upset and then run the risk of having their gun and their badge handed in. And then the captain, who's also a coward, says, "I'm sorry, but my job's also on the line here." And all the while, they will not do what they're supposed to do, and they will not recognize the criminal as they're supposed to be recognized, because someone at the tippy top has told them, "You will not do your job. You will file this fluffy duffy report and not actually punish the criminal, because the people at the very top are our friends and we're telling you what to do so that you don't get in trouble." And in this case, the RCMP is functioning as that captain or that police commissioner that is doing what they are being told to do, because it just so happens that their buddy buddies at the tippy top are the ones who are the perpetrators of all of the problems and calamities that this report talks about. And it is, we are living in an episode of a police drama in Canada.
Totally. Totally. The RCMP independence is dead. It's over. You can tell it. They're not going to say it. They're going to feign independence. But because they will not criticize the federal government, who they're supposed to be independent of in this quasi kind of independent relationship, the fact that they will not criticize them in the same way the Bank of Canada will not criticize political policies, it shows you they are not independent actors. Because if they were, they would feel as though they have the freedom to independently point the finger where it needs to be pointed. The fact that they don't, and that they're lockstep with every single government propaganda point, just shows you where they are at. And that is why we spent so much time talking about this, because this is the federal law enforcement of our nation that is no longer independent. It's lockstep with our government, and apparently it's in a paranoid manner coming up with plans that they will not reveal to you because they've redacted them in order to control and command Canadian citizens, of course, for your safety, as you said off the top, Andrew. It's crazy bananas world, but this is where we're at.
The very end of the report, too, it, you know, so when they say, one, we know how to handle a respiratory pandemic now. We figured out what to do. Which is my first thought is, what are you, have no idea what you're doing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We know what to do.
You think that's the way that most people, that's what most people took from the last 3 or 4 years?
If by we know what to do, what they mean is going forward, if another respiratory virus hits, we will openly and gladly allow for the distribution and consumption of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. We will encourage you to get vitamin D in sunlight and be outdoors. We'll tell you not to wear masks because they don't really work. And we're actually going to really slow down on this whole injection thing because it's problematic. If that's what they mean by we know what to do, then I guess they do know what to do.
Because we're going
to
do the exact opposite of what we did before.
Exact opposite. Yeah. So them saying that,
I can guarantee you that. Course.
And them saying that is actually the pretext for the very next set of lines, which is, it looks like another pandemic's coming. So what they're saying is, it looks like we're going to have to do this again. But don't worry, we know what we're doing now. We're better at it now. We're much better. We've really tightened up how to get the message out quick, how to not have issues in the media. We've done a good job at suppressing information online. We really know how now, especially that if you're in Canada, you can't share news on Facebook, and that we're looking to make it so that people who deal in hate speech will be punished. Now we're really, now we're really set up to control the narrative and deal with dissidents. But that little hint at the end, well, according to a very credible paper at Duke University written by these four scientism statists, another pandemic's coming in the next 5 years. But don't worry, our leveraging of technology and our martial law capabilities and the fact that we know what we're doing now. Yeah. We'll keep you safe. You don't want chaos, do you?
Yeah.
You don't want Canada to descend into madness. So we'll take care of you.
Yeah. Well, that's when I say social conditioning, that's what I read from that. That now that their government has taken these unprecedented actions and have socially conditioned people to go along with this for years on end, now I feel very comfortable that we could do this sort of thing if another emergency were of any kind were to surface. So, Andrew, really bad news. All sources of discomfort for the Canadian citizen. But I didn't want to leave on a bad note because obviously it's Holy Week here, a time of recording. Easter is right on the precipice. Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday, it's all around the corner. So I want to remind people why we have hope. And this comes straight from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 28. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. This is Paul speaking, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hoped in this life only, we are of all people the most of all to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, when the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God might be all in all through Christ. That is a beautiful text, beautiful reminder of the fact that Christ died for our sins, rose again on the third day, didn't stay in the grave, but ascended into heaven. And he now sits in his session at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, with all authority in heaven and earth. And that is the great hope that we have, that Christians, Andrew, have lived under the oppressive thumb of totalitarian regimes for millennia. And it's this great hope that Christ has overcome sin, death, the devil, and all his minions that allows us to push through no matter our circumstances. And that's why I thought it would be of great value to read an extended portion of scripture for our listeners.
Well, we read in the book of Revelation that the beast ever makes war with the saints.
Yep.
And this has been going on for 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. It started with the proto-beast in Nero in Rome making war with the saints. And for 2,000 years, beastly states who do the will of Antichrist, who demand worship from the people of God, oppress the people of God, and make war with the saints. And it tells us in Revelation that these people of God overcame by what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Mm-hmm. And this is our stance. This is our this is our posture, is we will be overcomers, not because we're really strong and mighty,
no,
but because the blood of the Lamb shed for us and the words of our testimony, which are ultimately the words of the good news of the gospel, which are the word of God proclaimed in truth, this is how we overcome. So our Canadian government is beastly. Mm-hmm. Our Canadian government is doing the will of Antichrist, and they are demanding worship, and they are and have been oppressing the people of God for many years now. So the beast makes war with the saints, but we will overcome. We will be victorious. We will be, as Paul says, more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And we will do so because the Lamb has shed his blood for our sins and for our forgiveness, and because the word of our testimony is powerful to build the church and to advance the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And the celebration of Easter this weekend is the reminder. Christ is the greatest reminder of victory through suffering, mm-hmm, and conquering through suffering and death bringing about resurrection. This is part of the joy of the celebration of Easter, is mm-hmm, that it is upon that cross, which is the greatest evil act ever perpetrated in human history, and it is the fullest display of God's wrath upon a human being. It is upon that cross that Jesus is indeed crowned king. So that crown mm-hmm of thorns, it was placed upon him in a mocking manner, mm-hmm, is actually God's sovereign way of saying, as he is lifted up before all men, he is actually crowned king upon mm-hmm that cross, and then he takes his rightful place on his throne at the right hand of God, who raises him from the dead. This is mm-hmm the glory of Easter. The glory of Easter is that our King Jesus suffers and dies and conquers victoriously, mm-hmm, and he becomes for us the model of conquering through suffering and victory through what appears to be death mm-hmm and resurrection life. That's the hope we have, that it appears that the beast is winning mm-hmm and that the state is going to be victorious, but they're not. Mm-hmm. We will be, as our Savior was when he was crowned king on that Good Friday and then raised to his throne on that Resurrection Sunday.
So despite what the internet wants to tell you, proclaim loudly, boldly, without apology, mm-hmm, Christ is king, both of mm-hmm Jews and Gentiles. And don't forget, because this can't ultimately happen, Christ is no longer on the cross. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, as we've said. Mm-hmm. He is enthroned on high. He is ruling. He is victorious. And we have victory in him. And that's the great eschatological hope that we have as those who are united with Christ. So happy Easter. He is risen.
Have a blessed Easter, everyone. He is risen indeed.
Till next time.
Liberty Dispatch has been brought to you in partnership with Liberty Coalition Canada and Christian Week, and has been produced by SDG Media. You can find all things Liberty Coalition Canada at libertycoalitioncanada.com.